The Mid-Continent Quarry sits on federal land outside of Glenwood Springs, and in 2016, the company Rocky Mountain Resources bought the lease for the property. Its proposed expansion would increase the size of the quarry from 23 to 321 acres. Community advocates worry the expansion could destroy newly discovered caves, lead to air pollution, noise, and 500 trucks a day traffic, as well as damaging the tourism and recreational economies of Glenwood Springs. Opponents to the expansion include local municipalities, the Glenwood Springs Citizen Alliance, and businesses like the Glenwood Hot Springs Lodge and Pool, Iron Mountain Hot Springs, and the Glenwood Caverns Adventure Park. My first guest on Book Today is Megan Tackett, reporter for Aspen Daily News. Thanks for joining me, Megan.
Thanks for having me.
Let me start by asking you about the frame you chose for your feature on Sunday's front page of the Aspen Daily News entitled, Can We All Just Get Along? Using the metaphor of a boxing ring, you list Rocky Mountain Resources in one corner and, quote, seemingly everyone else, at least locally, in the other. You then write that if stakeholders on both sides of the fight were to look in a mirror, they may see their opponents staring back at them in the reflection. Explain.
Yes. And as I wrote that, I knew I was going to wake up with heart palpitations the next morning out of nervousness in terms of the response. But that was my observation, really. I was very fortunate. I don't know why Greg Dangler said yes to my invitation to sit down and have a conversation, but he did. And we sat down for more than 2 hours in his Denver office, and he said his piece. And then conversely, I went over to the city manager's office for more than 2 hours, and they said their piece. And, you know, I'm certainly not arguing that the content of the dispute is the, you know, kind of same or different sides of the same coin, excuse me. But I think in terms of the actual tactics, yes, that was my observation was, you know, albeit RMR has many, many more resources available to them and much deeper pockets. But I think that if Glenwood Springs had hundreds of million dollars available to them, the opposition would absolutely be hiring, you know, the equivalent of the Brownstein, Hyatt, Farburn, Trek lobbyist types. So yes, I think when having conversations with them, they were both using the exact same words in their accusations. Both are accusing the other of being disingenuous in their tactics. Both are accusing the other of hiring, you know, big moneyed, well-connected at the national level kind of lobbyists, depending on which facet of the opposition. But, you know, you just start to see that like, you know, and I'd laugh about that. I told them that when I was speaking with them, that if I held up a mirror right now, if you could hear my recordings of these interviews, I don't necessarily know that you would love what you would hear.
Well, your article includes a lot of quotes from Greg Dangler, as you mentioned, the CEO of Rocky Mountain Resources, who you traveled to Denver to meet with. Knowing how passionate, quote, seemingly everyone else is in opposing this man and his company, why did you think it was important to give his perspective so much space in your article? I feel like I hadn't heard that before.
I think that it's such a big story, and it has been covered to death. And I think very, very fair that it is a huge story. It should be covered. And this will far be the last time we have these kinds of conversations, right? But I hadn't heard of Dangler's voice in any of this stuff. And I'd also heard a lot of accusations that may be fair, may not be, that, oh, you know, his transition into the CEO role was just optics in the beginning of the new year. And, you know, they're just trying to hide the Brownstein name because Chad Brownstein is the son of Norm Brownstein of aforementioned Brownstein, Hyatt, Farber, Schreck lobbying firm. And so there was a lot of concern that, you know, oh, basically Chad Brownstein's getting daddy's firm to swing the Department of the Interior in their favor for the approvals needed for this expansion, basically. And so then in the beginning of the year, when Greg Dangler stepped into the CEO role from the president's role, a lot of accusations were being lobbed, but there hadn't been any answer to those from RMR. So that's really why I reached out to begin with, is I just wanted the opportunity to sit down with the man. And I'll be honest, per everyone else, I was expecting to sit down with Darth Vader. And, you know, he wasn't Darth Vader. He's a person just like the rest of us. And, you know, we all disagree on you know, each other's platitudes sort of thing. But I thought it was interesting to sit down, and that was the new point of conversation that I could bring to the dialogue, I felt.
Well, since your story went to print on Sunday, there have been a few challenges to his quotes as you ran them. For one thing, you quote Dangler saying the Glenwood Springs Citizens Alliance hired attorney Harris Sherman, but in a letter to the editor published Wednesday by the Daily News, Sherman says his clients include the Hot Springs and Glenwood Caverns, but not the Citizens Alliance specifically. Were you glad to get Sherman's perspective into the pages of your paper yesterday?
Oh, I was thrilled. Absolutely. I was very appreciative to see that. And, you know, for one, I'm flattered that, you know, Sherman was reading the article, number one. And number two, I do think that there are so many points of clarity that still will be, you know, kind of sussed out as this thing continues to move along. So, yeah, I was thrilled.
Another quote from RMR boss Greg Dangler in your story that I've been hearing pushback about is his statement that environmental concerns prompted his company to request the BLM conduct an environmental impact study. My understanding from reporting by Katie and Case Amy Had Marsh, the PIs Thomas Phippen, and others is that the BLM was going to use a categorical exclusion, basically meaning no environmental analysis, to approve RMR's next steps. But then the BLM received 250 public comments, all opposed, and even Republican Congressman Scott Tipton wrote to the state director of the BLM asking for a more rigorous environmental review, referring to comments from Glenwood Springs City Council. What's your take on that claim from Dangler and the frustration about the overall, you know, back and forth of how that went down?
So, and for what it's worth, one of my earlier articles was exactly kind of in that aftermath when Glenwood Springs Chamber of Commerce was putting out a survey trying to get some of those comments. I mean, it's a huge, huge lightning rod for commentary. And I think, like I said, should be. Some of what I experienced in writing this article was the need to manage the scope creep. I mean, there are so many facets left unexplored. There were two interviews that were wonderful that I didn't even get to include, including with Steve Beckley, who's the owner of, Iron Mountain Hot Springs and the Adventure Park. And, you know, that's another article for another day and another conversation, lest it be a 10,000 word piece. But part of the broader conversation with Greg, from which I plucked that quote, was talking about how he, from his perspective, mind you, this is just what he told me, was he wants to have that conversation with the community. And when he got all of those comments, much like the BLM's decision, he said, OK, let's do it. And that's where that quote came from.
What other feedback have you and the paper received directly about your coverage?
I am so thankful for the irony of my experience in receiving feedback on this piece that was really focused. I think, like we talked about my framework, I focused much of this on the underlying politics of the strategies being used to, you know, play this thing out, more so than the actual content of the dispute. We could go into the 1872 Mining Act and all that good stuff, but again, a different conversation that has already been reported on. So this was what I felt was kind of the new angle. And so I was waiting on bated breath for an onslaught of hate mail, and I haven't gotten it. I got, you know, a few emails from stakeholders involved in the discovery of the Witch's Pantry Cave. I got phone calls from, board members of the Glenwood Springs Citizens Alliance. We got other phone calls to the office. We've had other letters to the editor that you'll see play out in the next few days. But realistically, in an era where reporters often get just awful, awful emails and nasty threats and name calling, I'm sure I've been called names, but not to my face. So I'll take that.
Good. Well, my guest is Aspen Daily News reporter Megan Tackett, and we just have a few minutes left. We're talking about her feature from the cover of the Sunday paper called Can We All Just Get Along? Let me ask you about your interviews with the Glenwood mayor and the city manager.
Sure.
When it comes to the political connections between RMR and Donald Trump's pick to run the Department of Interior, David Bernhardt, city officials feel like they're in a David and Goliath story, and they're David, with, quote, neither a sling nor a rock. What do you make of that?
I think it's kind of fair, honestly. When I say that RMR has Brownstein, Hyatt, Farber, Schreck behind them as a lobbying firm, it is very difficult to overstate the lobbying influence that they have. And Norm Brownstein is from Colorado. And so in Colorado in particular, you see just a lot of influence. And before becoming the Secretary of the Department of the Interior in the Trump administration, David Bernhardt had spent 10 years of his career as, you know, a lobbyist for that firm. And, you know, the Washington Post even has done a lot of investigations on what that firm has experienced in the aftermath of their alum being in the administration at the federal level. And, you know, they've made allegations that, you know, one client started paying them a $10,000 monthly bonus just as a thanks, I'm so impressed kind of thing. And so, you know, they did go, they being the local stakeholders, they did go to D.C. and have some conversations with the congressional delegation just because they felt completely outgunned here. And, you know, from what Carl Hanlon, the city's attorney, told me, a lot of the congressional staffers that were willing to speak to them were only willing to do so off the record because they were afraid for the future of their own career. Now, again, that's just what was told to me. But given the amount of influence that that particular firm has, I believe it.
You mentioned the national coverage around the Department of Interior and ethics questions. There was an article that came out last year saying David Bernhardt literally carries around a note card in his breast pocket to keep track of all of his conflicts of interest. You tried repeatedly to get the Department of Interior's ethics office to comment for your story. Any luck?
I don't want to give myself too much credit on this one, but the DOI.gov, the Interior Department's website, was actually down for more than a week. And I was so frustrated that little old me with like my 40 followers or whatever put a thing out, putting them on blast on Twitter, saying basically, I know there's an impeachment hearing, but the federal government is still operating, right? And purely coincidence, I'm sure, but 4 hours later, that website was back up and running. I tried to call the ethics office for the department several times, and they took down my information. But they weren't able to immediately find anybody from the communications division to speak with me, and none of my messages were ever returned.
We're going to have to leave it there for today. Reporter Megan Tackett, Aspen Daily News, thank you for speaking with me on Booked here at KDK. Look forward to seeing what else comes out from the story.
Oh, always a pleasure being here. Thanks, Gavin.